Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Time to do some holiday baking here on Sabres Live, and long overdue, I might add. Hello, Chris Baker. Welcome into the show on this game day, Buffalo and Montreal.
So clever, Duffer, with the holiday baking. Thanks for having me.
Low-hanging items near the oven. That's basically what this is. So how hot is it where you are? Because I'm sure the Sabres are feeling that right now, right? It's unavoidable in the streak that they're in. They desperately need a win in Montreal tonight. We haven't chatted in a while. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you look at tonight, Buffalo-Montreal?
Must win, obviously, I think is kind of the key word here. Stay out of the penalty box, simplify your game. As far as how hot it is, I mean, my seat is always hot, Duffer. You know this, especially with this giant ring light staring at me. But no, I think when you look at the game tonight, evenly matched teams here, really, I think statistically, kind of similarly built. Goaltending will matter as always tonight, but I think I'm kind of curious to see how the team reacts, just given the, you know, hey, what tough times don't last, Duffer. Tough people do. Right? Let's see if this team can dig deep and get themselves moving in a right direction tonight.
It's funny when you put it the way of, you know, similarities in the matchup, statistical standings and otherwise. There have been so many of these matchups in the last 10 games, that where Buffalo was in the first game of this, going well, up against Minnesota, high shot volume, somehow didn't score, lost the game 1-0. But then you look at how they have typically played against some of these teams along the way. They've done well in Toronto. They started well in Toronto, only to have it slip away. They had the unbelievable start against Colorado. They showed comeback resiliency against the Vancouver Canucks to get it to overtime, only to lose. And the coach talked about missed opportunities. It's just statistically, for the entire season so far, as you would expect, everything has now dropped in this 10-game run. But along the way in these 10 games, I was going into it almost all of these matchups going, oh, well, like this is a positive for them. This is where they can win this game. And somehow they have found a way not to win, which is undoubtedly the most frustrating part.
No, it is. It's like Lindy Ruff is kind of conducting an orchestra, right? You need every single piece of the game to come together. And that's why I mentioned goaltending tonight, right? Because that's one of the areas where they've kind of dropped off a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, presumably you're going to see UPL tonight. You got to get those goals saved above expected back to where they were in the first 15, 18 games of the year. Yep. For me tonight, though, you're right. This is a team that's been scoring first more often than last year. Now it's about how do you execute that formula to protect the lead? That's going to be critical. And obviously doing a better job on special teams, both sides of special teams. Those are the keys tonight. That's why I said simplify your game. Mm-hmm. Simplify your game tonight. But no, I think if they can find a way, there's been elements during this 10-game stretch that they've been on that have been encouraging. Mm-hmm. Find a way to dig deep and close out a game. And tonight is the night that they have a really good opportunity.
How much do you think it gets in their head after taking a lead, whether it's a one-goal lead, a two-goal lead like they had in Toronto the other night, the four-goal lead against Colorado. Did that four-goal lead that disappeared, has there been a major negative impact on the group since that moment, do you think? Or are they all just one-offs here with no real correlation to the other?
I think they're bruised from it. I do. Because, you know, it doesn't happen very often. It's very hard historically in the NHL to come back from a two-goal lead, certainly from a three-goal lead. And when you see a four-goal lead evaporate like that, yeah, I think you get some bruises from that. But at the same time, since that Colorado game, they've come out. They come out even on Sunday on a back-to-back, and they get a good start. So I don't want to say that it's, like, totally in their minds, but I think it's in the back of their minds, and they have to just find a way to wash it out. Go out and keep your foot on the gas. If you score first tonight, go out and get another one, and execute that formula. That's going to be a critical part of their success tonight if they do have any success.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the goals against as well. Do you think Luukkonen's numbers have been more a byproduct of just the lack of Rasmus Dahlin, thus the lack of consistent, more familiar partners? Marty and I have had this talk a lot, so I'm hesitant to say it outright that they've had a standard six always in front of Luukkonen and or Levi and or Reimer, but let's start with Dahlin's absence. How much of that is causing the goals against to go up, which right now is up about a third of a goal per game over where it was at the end of last year? And that would be an unexpected statistic, I would say, at this point in the season.
I think Dahlin's absence is being felt more on the offensive side of things, on the power play, him not being at the top of the zone. But no, I think there's certainly a trickle-down effect when you lose a guy that plays 25 minutes a night and you have new defensive partners figuring out a way to communicate when they're on the ice and you're seeing a drop-off there. Mm-hmm. No, I do think, Duffer, that there are elements to that. When you introduce a Ryan Johnson into your lineup that probably hasn't ever played with Bowen Byram and they're playing over 20 minutes a night, there's going to be some breakdowns there. We saw it in that Detroit game, for example. So no, I do think it's part of it. But the Dahlin thing for me, I mean, he's just kind of a calming presence really in all three zones of the ice. So you're going to feel it in all phases of the game. And I think that's what we're seeing with him.
He's closer. Obviously he was on the ice yesterday. He's been on here at the morning skate, but there's, you know, it's ambiguous at best when trying to read into, well, what's he practicing? Is he doing power play? Is he not? And how much time has he had to really ramp up here to be ready for this? But at the same time,
how much time does he need, right?
Well,
like, you need a full practice.
That's also the thing. It's impossible to know where the conditioning is at. But the other reality is he's been dealing with this since before the season began. So to have managed to have been able to play in all the games prior to the last six and maybe a seventh tonight, he obviously has kept himself in the right place. And I wouldn't have expected a drop off in that regard, but these are tricky situations for the individual and the team to navigate, because once again, now you've got a few days off after this, and then you have Toronto, Boston back to back on Friday, Saturday, which are undoubtedly greater challenges theoretically than what Montreal poses to them tonight.
And obviously you're going to need him for at least one of those games this weekend, right? Yeah. So you don't want to rush him back by any means, but at the same time, you can tell just by hearing Lindy Ruff spoke on the radio this morning, said there's no timetable, and I didn't hear a lot of urgency in trying to get him back, but I think it's because it doesn't need to be said. Like, we need him back right away. Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting to see how he looks today, if he's on the ice again. I don't think he's skating with the team. You know, maybe the folks in the back who are monitoring the situation up in Montreal today can help us with that. But no, I mean, Duffer, it's no coincidence that when you lose him and the minutes that he eats up, there's been an impact all over the place. It's critical that they get him back, obviously. So we'll see what happens there.
You mentioned the radio side, WGR Sports Radio 550, and of course here on MSG, Dan and Marty will have the call from Montreal tonight. Marty in for Razor. you are in for Marty at the moment, but you're not wearing a Hamburg Hawks jersey, which is a little surprised. I mean, this is a big Hamburg day for us studio-wise because Pat Collette is going to be alongside for our pregame coverage, because I don't want to say the entire night, because like if Patty really doesn't like working with me after the pregame, like he's well within his rights to get up and leave. But I'm hopeful that we have a great night with Pat in studio. He obviously just brings, you know what, like passion. Like he cares so much about this city and this team. I know it's tough to walk in and sit down and talk about, you know, where they're at, which is losers of 10 straight. But he will be very eager to just, you know, add what he can on where they're at and how they get out of this. So it's good. It's good Hamburg day for our crew here on Sabres Live.
So. I'm not wearing any Hamburg Hawks gear. I was a West Seneca Wing, which, by the way, was also where Coletta played some youth hockey in his days. But no, you're right, Coletta. If he brings that same passion and energy to the broadcast, it should be a good time that you'll have with him tonight. Mm-hmm. And that's what, again, bringing it back to the team that's going to be playing up in Bell Center tonight. I want to see that passion from the team tonight. I want to see this team get more out of those guys. We talk about digging deep, right? I want to see more from Greenway, more from Zucker. Lindy says you got to rely on your best players. You need to see more from everyone tonight. Mm-hmm. So let's hope that the energy that Pat brings beams out up to Montreal, to the broadcast team, and down to the team on the ice.
Of course, they had the transaction over the weekend to bring up Levi for the start against Toronto, and that was at the expense of Ryan Johnson. But now, even without a transaction happening yet, certainly with Levi being sent back, and if Darlene's not ready to go, then like they could swing Ryan Johnson back in here. Just a quick thought based on, you know, your path of following all these prospects, like where do you think Johnson is at now organizationally after this latest cameo at the NHL level?
I think he's ready to take on a bigger role moving forward at the NHL level. If you go back to this year when he was down in the AHL playing for Michael Leone, he was getting all the tough matchups. Mm-hmm. His effort defensively, not just his first effort, second effort, third effort, winning pucks, getting him out quickly. It's helped him really make a transition to the NHL in this most recent sniff that he's gotten. I think he fits right into how the team wants to play. Wins pucks, his feet are so good, quick to identify, and he makes safer plays. If I look at the Sabres defense this year, a lot of times coming out of the zone, maybe some lower percentage plays exiting the zone. Johnson, I think, makes higher percentage plays. Now it's just going to be more comfort level with various defensive partners, whether it's Byram or anyone else. But no, I think that they play faster. I think aesthetically, when you watch the team and he's on the ice, they play faster. There's an urgency to his game. And by the way, his battle in front of the net, it's been highlighted on the broadcasts. Boxing out seems to be kind of the big word, the buzzword lately. He does that. He's gotten stronger, and it's made him more effective against NHL-level competition.
So they've been carrying 8 defensemen, and it's been a challenging year for the group of 6, despite the fact that one thing Marty and I were talking about so much in September was, wow, like, what if they get like big offensive years here from Darlene, Power, and Byram, and they rank really high in scoring by the, like, that's going to help the lower, you know, the bottom 6 group of forwards. They're going to get more points on the ice just by this push. So it was trending that way. Then the Darlene injury happens, and then you start, and Samuelson, of course, injury gap, injury, you know, return from injury now, some in and out of the lineups for Joki Haru. And I think the same can be said for Bryson, who waited forever to get in. Clifton now, you know, getting a taste of the sidelines. Gilbert in and out. You can see that there hasn't been a ton of consistency here. But what I'm getting at is Lindy basically said it in a similar way to what you just recapped, this recent Ryan Johnson run. And that is, he will more likely replicate the pace of play in the absence of Darlene. So that's why you put him with Byram, right? So if you were seeing good things there and Darlene comes back, how much of the wheels start spinning and like, okay, we need to find a way to keep Johnson up. Then we have Darlene, Byram, Johnson, power, X, Y, Z, whatever. However many you want to keep on the roster. Do you think this is now part of the discussion as far as like, because it's easy. You can keep parking Ryan down in Rochester without roster repercussions right now. But there's also the urgency that everyone is speaking about right now to get out of this and get on the consistent plane.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Deck your home with Blinds.com.
La 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 la.
DIY or let us install. Free design consultation.
Free.
Plus free samples and free shipping.
Free.
Ho ho ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the right direction.
I don't expect that Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams are all the way there yet with Ryan Johnson, where they're going to keep him up. For me personally, I do think he's part of the discussion moving forward because of a lot of the things that you just mentioned. And I'll throw Yoki Haru into that too. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the problem that you might have with Ryan Johnson is how married is Lindy going to be to having left shot, right shot pairs, right? Mm-hmm. Because that will matter and that'll be a factor in the decision. But I don't think you can matter. I don't think that you can make that the ultimate criteria though, Spot. Mm-hmm. Guys playing together. Johnson's committed to playing the other side. He can play both now. So for me, look, I mean, I said this the first game that he came up, and it was how he responded after that DeBrincat goal, by the way. Mm-hmm. It would have been easy for him to go back to the bench and be like, man, I'm not all the way ready. He rebounded really well, and he played really well. And I think that I was surprised to see his minutes go down. I think he played 14 mm-hmm. in the last game that he played. I think that's why I think there's a sign there to say maybe they're not all the way there yet with
them. Right.
For me, though, I'm ready to throw him right into the conversation because I think that, for example, nothing against Bryson. I think that he plays more of the style that you need to play in the modern day NHL than Bryson can bring at the present moment.
And obviously, based on how the roster construction happened in the summer, there has been an emphasis on physicality. So I knew as soon as I started going down this road in the Johnson discussion that some people would say, well, you can't have Dahlin, Byram, Power, and Johnson as your top four. You need more physicality in there. And that may well be true. I'm just wondering where, you know, where the view, where the perception of Johnson is right now when you contrast him with others who have been on the roster all season. And I don't know, maybe it's not a super significant topic right now in the grand scheme of things, but I think it's still relevant because of Dahlin's absence. And if Rasmus can come back in, and whether it's tonight, whether it's later this week, and feel like he's good to go the rest of the year, like, this to me, Bakes, is like a such a huge if now. This injury sucks. It is like, there's no timetable on this stuff, right? Like, and so I don't know. It could
linger for a while, Duffer. Yeah. Even if he comes back, yeah, it's going to be there. And that's right. What's concerning. I don't want to even think about the Four Nations, right? Oh, but it's like, yeah. I don't even want him. If this is lingering, I don't want him going anywhere near that team.
Right.
The Four Nations,
exactly.
Honestly. But like, it's way too early to even go there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that there's a silver lining to Dahlin being out. And I don't want to overstate Ryan Johnson, how he's looked, because he's mm-hmm. still learning and still getting better. He's making great progress. So, but if he becomes a revelation out of this little stretch when Dahlin's been absent, mm-hmm. not a bad thing, you know, because it does also give Kevin Adams more flexibility to make some roster decisions and maybe have more names to talk about with other general managers if he's looking to make some minor tweaks.
And boy, tweaks are what we have seen prior to games, in game, every period seemingly of late. Sending messages to those who are underperforming by taking away ice time, trying to promote players who appear to be having good games to top six status to have a bigger impact on the game. Based on everything you've seen lately, like, how would you configure the top six tonight to try to maximize offense in a place where Buffalo has had some really nice offense? Like, I get it. We know where Buffalo and Montreal have been in the standings, but it's been a strange head-to-head series over the last half dozen years. Like, Montreal wins often, like they did earlier this year, 7-5 in Buffalo. Sabres have historically fared well at Bell Center. Granted, their not-so-secret weapon in that process is no longer with the team. That was Jeff Skinner, who had 15 points in his last five games against Montreal. But you know what I'm saying here. Like, how would you organize the group of six to really have that offensive push against Sam Montembeault tonight?
I would construct the lines similarly, if not identical, to how they started the game on Sunday in Toronto. I really like Zach Benson up with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch. Benson's strength of his game, low in the zone, beneath the dots, working and getting to the net. I like that concept where if he's there, it sucks Thompson and Tuch to where he is. Benson, it's so crazy, right? Wayne Gretzky always said, don't go where the puck is, go where it's going to be. Well, if you're playing hockey effectively, right, let's break it down in the very simplest terms. If you're playing hockey the right way, the puck is going to be near the net, right? So you want all those guys to converge. I like that basic concept, though. I like Benson playing with those guys. I've been wanting that personally since the Sabres were in Prague, honestly. When you see, now let's go to the second unit, when you see how Quinn reacted to his five-game sit-down, coming up and shooting the puck with more authority, kind of owning his space a little bit more. I still want to see Quinn get more shots from closer to the net, maybe get into the house more. Mm-hmm. But I'm probably not tweaking Paterka, Cousins, Quinn.
Okay.
I'm probably staying that way. Kulik, Zucker, Greenway works for me if they go with that. So I know you only asked for top six, but I wanted to, I mean, that leaves me with Kulik.
There's room for the other nine to join the top six. That's the thing right now, right? Like, they don't have two lines rolling that they can bank on offensively. So that's why we've seen all these changes. We were talking just last week about Lindy leaning on Yuri as the number two center, right? Yeah. Cousins got bumped to the wing. Then he got moved down. We've seen Krebs moved up. We have seen almost everybody, save for Malenstein and Obey Kubel, have a bigger an opportunity to have a bigger offensive presence. So this is very relevant to me, especially when Quinn started the way he did last game, but then, like the team, most of that offensive push went away. It's also super relevant because you are going to articulate what you've liked about Jiří Kulik's game so far. But we also saw Dylan Cousins incredibly frustrated at the end of last game. And that kind of is symbolic of the challenges that he's had this year. So there's an awful lot to analyze before making these decisions of who plays with whom.
The thing with Cousins on that is I want to see him one more game. I thought he cleared a hurdle the other night when he got out of that scrap. Okay. Goes into the back-to-back, very tough matchup in Toronto. I want to at least give him another period and a half to see how he does on that line before maybe moving a Kulik up.
Yep.
To transition to Kulik, if you're comfortable with that. I've liked the confidence that he plays with at his engagement level. I'm very surprised that he's doing it as a centerman as often this early in his NHL career. We've seen so many shooters start off on the wing in the NHL to simplify their lives. He's won faceoffs. His stick is very underrated. His defensive stick, it's active. Stick lifts. He's been pretty good keeping his feet moving in the defensive zone as well as on the forecheck.
That's kind of a big thing that doesn't get talked about
enough. It's huge. Yeah. Huge. Yeah. It's always been an underrated part. I always thought that when we talked about Kulik in his 2 years of development in the AHL, that a lot of when people say, yeah, he scores a lot, but the but was always, oh, his off the puck play. It was always overstated. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing that now, honestly. Did he have his lapses? Yes, young players do.
Mm-hmm. So do old players.
So do old players, exactly.
Yeah.
The one thing I think with Kulik now is that I do think he's got 4 goals right now. Let's not forget what he's here for. He's a goal scorer. He's here to score goals. I do think because he's always been a volume shooter. His first 2 years in the AHL, he was a 15% shooter success rate. He's at 8% right now. If you can get him to split that difference, it might be ambitious to think he's going to be a 15% shooter in the National Hockey League. But if he's 12 and a half, I think you're getting a pretty good piece that then you can maybe say, yeah, you know what? This is my second line centerman moving forward. I want to see more goals start to go in. And I think they will as he gets more comfortable.
The most surprising thing for me, I think, this year, when it comes to offense, is Jiří and JJ have both had significant opportunities to impact the power play. Now, JJ had 28 goals last year, but not a lot of power play contribution. So this was already in my head going into the year. It's like, how much is he going to have a role in this? And then by extension, how much are his numbers likely to go up? But then Jiří came up and started playing regularly. And based on all these other circumstances, lack of production, struggling power play, he's getting more time. I'm baffled that neither one of them has carried over the mastery of one-timers from the AHL to the NHL. And I'm curious, as someone who watches the development of players so closely, what are you seeing that is just a miss for both of them in those situations?
Paterka is it's puzzling because lately, anyways, you've seen him have grade A chances, one-timers, that he's like whiffing or missing, fanning on it, blowing the dust off it. I can't explain that because he is getting the chances.
Right.
Kulik, I just think I want him on that first unit. First of all, let's get Darlene back. Right. And then everything will come together on the power play, or at least
maybe
a little bit more.
I mean,
they've been less than 10% success rate on the PP over these last 10 games. I want to say it's in the 7% range, something like that. It can only go up when you get Darlene back, but I would like to see Kulik on his side. And maybe flip him, you know, because I think Paterka doesn't maybe need to be there right now. Kulik could be the guy.
Yeah.
I think it's just opportunity. But the other thing, though, it's like the one-timer does matter. Teams have done a good job taking the one-timer away from the Sabres power play over the past couple of years. They did it to Thompson. They did it a little bit to Olofsson. I think that's why you're seeing Seth Appert and Lindy try different things, different formations, put Tage in a bumper. The biggest thing for me, though, is like when you watched the Toronto game the other night, two guys in front of the net on the power play. One high at the hash marks, one right in front of the goaltender. Sabres, there's still too much white ice in front of the goaltender on the power play. Mm-hmm. I'm saying forget the one-timer. Let's just throw the pucks at the net and crash. Let's get guys there. They're too late to get to the net.
Hard to assess overall, though. I mean, they did score on that early power play, and then they got nothing until the final 13 seconds of the game. So that's they need more opportunities, first and foremost. But, yeah, it's a tricky one to evaluate right now, other than the numbers are the numbers, and they tell you where you are ranking-wise, and their power play ranking is very close to where they are in the standings based on how things have gone here in the last, 10 games. So,
Duffer, I think I know I didn't fully like or directly answer your question about Paterka and Kulik on the power play, but I think it's really a function of teams are just taking those flanks away because that's what the Sabres.
Do you see either of those guys as good bumper position guys in some way?
I would see probably Paterka better than Kulik in the bumper. Depends on if you're going to use a high zone, a guy that's high or a guy a little more lower.
Yeah.
I like Benson in the bumper. Let's not forget that Benson looked really good in that bumper position in preseason last year when he was 18-year-old.
Yeah.
He just has a knack because I think he's got that processing to not only think he has to shoot, but also kick it low to a different guy on the side of the net. But I digress.
No, never. There's just so much to look at here. And I'll tell you, it's whether it's 5-on-5 or 5-on-4, if anybody just takes a look at how Dallas worked themselves out of a deficit last night against Washington, it was just a couple of beautiful goals, created from passing down low. But the quickness of the passing is what really stood out to me. And you've heard Lindy talk about it. Like, we need to execute quicker. And last night was – and then if you wanted to go to Edmonton and – Florida, where there were 11 goals scored. Yeah, but totally different game. Stay with us. You're in for Marty. Marty is going to join us on the back half here of Sabres Live. Lots to get to, including, obviously, Sabres and Canadians tonight. And I want to remind you that you can stay locked in with Sabres all season long with text alerts. Be the first to know about exclusive ticket offers, merch drops, and more. Text Sabres to 956-97 to sign up today. We're back after this. We'll get a little update from Lindy Ruff as well. Stay with us.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.